My text this morning is taken from Luke 17, verse 15, where Jesus says, "Where are the nine?" Jesus is in a village, and 10 men come to meet him. These 10 men are lepers. They're suffering this terrible illness of leprosy. And from a distance, because they're unclean, they cry out to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." They know that only God can help them. Unsurprisingly, the man of compassion, Jesus, does hear them and does heal them. But he does it in a most unusual way. He tells them simply to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, why does Jesus do this? Well, first, it is because that is what you must do under the Old Testament law if you are to be declared clean from leprosy. The second reason, though, is to test their faith. Were they willing to obey his word and go to the priests, even though, as they left Jesus, they still had leprosy? The good news is that all 10 were willing. And on the way, the miracle happened. As they walked towards the priests, the feeling began to return to their hands and their feet. The lesions on their skin from the leprosy fell away. And I picture them looking at each other with amazement and joy, holding up their hands and saying, "I'm clean, I'm clean. I'm free of leprosy." Now, up to this point, the 10 had acted in unison. They together went to meet Jesus. They together cried out for mercy. They together obeyed Jesus and started to go to where the priests lived. And together they were healed. But now one of the 10 does something different. He decides he must go back and see Jesus and say thank you to Jesus. So he alone goes back, bows down before the Lord, glorifies God and says thank you. And Jesus is pleased the one has come back, but he notes that only one out of the 10 has come back. And so he asks in verse 17, "Were not 10 people cleansed? Where are the other 9? Why has only one come back to glorify God? And why has the only one who has come back is a foreigner?" The other 9 were Jews, no doubt. Now Jesus asks some good questions that are worth exploring. It's worth exploring because Jesus highlights here a wider problem than applies just to the 9 who did not come back. I want to widen out the question and ask, where today are those who give thanks to God? Where are those who praise God? Because we live in a world where very few thank God. Even amongst Christians, it's not universal. How sad. How wrong. My aim this morning is that each of you will leave this place more like the one than the 9. I want you to leave this place as somebody who every day gives thanks to God. And so my text this morning is this question: where are the 9? And I want to look at this subject in these verses under 4 headings. First of all, we're going to see the rarity of thankfulness. Secondly, we're going to see a true example of thankfulness. Thirdly, the wonderful blessings of thankfulness. And fourth, and maybe most importantly, the great reason for thankfulness. So first of all, the rarity of thankfulness. With the 10 lepers, 10 were healed, as I've said, but only one gave glory to God and came back to thank Jesus. 1 in 10. And the truth is that the number today who will give thanks to God today may not even be a 1 in 100. There are far more people in the world who receive blessings from God than there are those who give thanks to God. Think for a moment about the general blessings that God gives and showers upon this world every day. God has given life to the billions of human beings, to all of you. God has given us a world in which to live. God has given each human being water to drink and food to eat. And even the poorest human being in the world benefits from the fact that the sun rose this morning. And we all benefit from the fact that the rain falls and the crops grow. And every living person benefits from the fact that there's air to breathe that keeps us alive and a body to live in. And many of us have far more blessings than that. We have homes to live in. We have chairs to sit on, beds to sleep in. We have clothes to wear, jobs to do. The list is almost endless. And yet how many people in the world stop each day and say thank you to Jesus? Thank you, Lord, for my life, for my family, for my food, for my work, my home. It's probably not even 1 in 100. Isn't that a shame? But let me just go further. There are more people in the world who are religious than there are those who give thanks. All the 10 lepers were religious. All the 10 lepers were prepared to obey Jesus, for instance, and go to the priest and be clean. They were prepared to go through a ritual, but only one was prepared to say thank you. And there are many today who are religious, who maybe obey what Jesus teaches about outward religion. They go to church. They read the Bible. But how many are willing to stop and say thank you, Jesus, that they can go to church, that they have a Bible to read? Now let me go even a stage further. Even amongst those who pray, there are more people who pray than those who give thanks in prayer. Because all the 10 here in Luke 17, they all prayed, didn't they? They all said, Lord, have mercy upon me. But only one gave thanks. And there are many in the world who pray to God because they want some physical blessing, like these 10. They pray like the 10 lepers prayed. Lord, Master, have mercy upon me. They pray maybe because they're sick. They pray because they haven't any food. They pray because they haven't any job or any money. But here's the question. When they get better from their illness, when they find some food to eat, when they find a job or get some money, do they go back to Jesus and thank him? Do we? But I want to go even a stage further. There are many more who believe than there are those who give thanks. All of the 10 lepers had faith, didn't they? All 10 came to Jesus for help. And all believed that Jesus could heal them. And all believed that simply by walking away from Jesus, they would be healed. But their faith went no further than that for 9 of them. Their lives were spent worrying about the health of their body and not the health of their soul. They spent their time examining their own skins rather than their own sins. Their faith was only skin deep, literally. And we know this because only one came back. Now we'll think more about this under our final point. But for now, let us grasp this point. True faith in Christ as our Lord always leads to thankfulness, saying, thank you, Jesus. One follows the other as night follows day. Maybe, my friends, you have on occasion prayed to God over some physical need. How often have you then said thank you to God that that physical need was met? And if you don't, could it be because, my friends, you've never asked the Lord to deal with your biggest problem, which is your sin? But let me go even one stage further about the rarity of thankfulness. Let me speak to those of you who are Christians, have repented of your sins. There are more Christians then there are Christians who give thanks regularly. How common is it for Christians to give thanks? Every day, I'm sure, as a Christian, you pray to God. But how often do you start your prayer by thanking God for the good things he's given you? How common is it for you to thank God for the food you eat and the homes you live in? How often do you thank God that you can just, you have the Bible in your own language and you can read it? How often do you thank God that you have a Saviour and that the Holy Spirit came and revealed these things to you? How often do you thank God for those blessings you never even asked for? Christian fellowship, a home to live in, fresh food and water. Now, why is it so important that we give thanks? We've seen how rare it is. Well, let me think about children for a moment. Let me think about parents with children for a moment. What do you teach your children to say when you give them something? Thank you. You say, please, you teach them to say thank you. Now, why do you do this? Well, part of the reason, because it's polite. And we like to be polite people. But actually, there's a more important reason. We teach our children to say thank you because they are in debt to you as your parent, as their parent. You have done something for them that they cannot do for themselves. You've cooked them a meal. And unless they're old enough, they can't do that themselves. You've bought and given them clothes to wear. They haven't yet got a job to earn their own money. You have spent time with them teaching them how to read. Without that, maybe they wouldn't be able to read. So you teach them to say thank you. Now let me say a word to the young people who are here today. Do you ever thank your mum and dad? Have you ever stopped to think about all the good things they've done? I can see one's nodding, that's good. But do you thank them? Why not make sure today you thank them? Thank them that they brought you to church. Thank them they give you food, that they love you and care for you. But my friends, that applies to adults as well. We should all be thanking people. And just on a human level, we should be thanking people. Because in some way, we're always in debt to other people. It could be something very simple, like somebody opening a door for you. We're in debt to them because they've helped us. We've got a big bag, we can't carry it in. Somebody opens the door, so say thank you. It could be something as common when somebody cooks you a meal. Or when somebody goes out to work to earn the money for the meal. Husbands, do you thank your wives for the food? And wives, do you thank your husband for going out to work to earn the money for the food? And it could be something really important. Somebody teaches you something from the Bible. We're in debt to them for sharing the good news. Say thank you. But now let me take it up to a higher level. We need to thank God, don't we? We need to give thanks to God because we are in debt to God. It's not only the polite thing to do. We're in debt to God. He gives you and has given you life. He's given you your body. He's given you the air to breathe. And he's given you a saviour. Because we deserve nothing from God. Nothing at all. We just deserve the fire of hell. But God is a good God who gives and gives. And each time we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And of course, the greater the gift, the greater should be our thanks. So yes, my friends, say thank you before you have your meal. Thank you, Lord, for giving me food. But that should be nothing to be compared to the thankfulness that's in our heart when we take communion and we remember Christ shedding his blood for our sins. And my friends, you might say, okay, I need to thank God more. But how can I thank God more? Well, my friends, I think we can learn from a babe in Christ, this Samaritan. And that brings us to our second point. Because our second point is a true example of thankfulness. And it is truly remarkable. Turn back to chapter 17 of Luke and look at verses 15 and 16. It is packed full of good advice about how to be a thankful Christian. Let me read it. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. First, he thanked God individually. He was willing to be different from the other nine men. Maybe he tried to persuade the other nine to come back with him, and they said, no, we want to go and see the priest. We want to be cleansed in the sight of the world. But this man said, no. There is something more important than going to see the priest. I need to go and see the Saviour, the one who's healed me. He had to go back and say thank you to Jesus. And so it is with the true Christian. If Christ has saved you and your heart is your right with you, you will say, I must speak to him. I must praise him. I must say thank you, Jesus. And my friend, you will not be put off by cold hearts of those who live around you and never give thanks. You'll not be put off if you find yourself in some church where the Christians' hearts are cold and they never give thanks to God. You will thank God, even if you're one in nine or one in 900, because God has been so good to you. Secondly, he thanked God promptly. As soon as he realized he was healed, there was he walking towards the priest. He sees healed, he's turning about and going back to Jesus. There was no delay. Nothing else was more important than his mind than saying, thank you, Jesus. Not even having the official blessing of the priest that he was clean. And we should be prompt in giving thanks to God. Maybe there's a matter that you've been praying about and it's been on your mind for some time. And then you receive maybe a text message and the text message confirms that your prayer's been answered in some way. It's good news. Your prayer has been answered. What should you do next? Say thank you to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you're with. Say thank you, Jesus. Not to impress other people, but to thank the Lord for answering your prayer. And if you can't actually stop what you're doing, maybe you're driving your car and somebody in the car has told you about the text message, you can still just say it out loud. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Don't worry about what people think. Praising the Lord is more important than any embarrassment you may feel. So he thanks Jesus individually. He thanks Jesus promptly. And thirdly, he thanks God intensely. Look what we read. With a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This is not a superficial prayer. It's not merely words. This is from the heart. Now, some may have thought, yes, well, this is going over the top. Yes, say thank you to Jesus, but couldn't you have done it in a quieter way? Why do you have to make such a song and dance about it, falling before him? The answer is because something wonderful had happened. Something that deserved him giving praise and thankfulness to God. Something that was worthy of him bowing down before Jesus and saying, thank you, Lord. Do you notice how excited people get about football? Do you notice how excited countries get when the national football team is playing in the World Cup or European Cup? In 2023, Spain won the Women's World Cup. And immediately afterwards, around where I live, there were cars driving all around the roads, honking their horns and waving their Spanish flags. Now, this was in Switzerland, not in Spain. And what for? Just 11 women kicking a ball around. Those 11 women didn't cure cancer. Those 11 women didn't bring a war to an end. Those 11 women didn't find the meaning of life. Now compare the winning of a football match with God answering a prayer. There's no comparison. Now compare winning a football match with God saving you from your sins. Now compare winning a football match with saving your child that you've been praying for. Now compare that with God raising a dear friend from the sick bed. There's no comparison. Now, my friends, I'm not suggesting the next time that you have a wonderful answer to prayer, you go and get on your car or on your bicycle, if you've got a bicycle, and you ring the bell and honk the horn and wave a flag. I'm not saying do that. But I am saying there should be some intensity in our thankfulness. This is wonderful. The Lord has answered my prayer. My friends, he not only gave thanks intensely, he also gave thanks humbly. Do you see the position he adopted there in verse 15? What does it say? He says, verse 16 rather, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Here was a position of worship and of humility. My friends, when we give thanks, we must do it humbly. We must acknowledge that we did not deserve God to answer our prayers. Let's say that again. We don't deserve that God answers our prayers, because we deserve nothing from God. And our prayers are just requests, not demands. And so we must give God all the glory. Because remember, at one level, prayer changes nothing. It's God that changes things. God is the one we should thank. And fifthly and finally, we see here that he gave thanks doctrinally. We read that he falls down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. And earlier on he had said he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. In his thankfulness, this Samaritan has a clear view of who he is thanking. He is thanking God. He is thanking Jesus. And in his mind, this young babe in Christ understands something extraordinary about Jesus. Jesus is God. The man Jesus is God, the God-man. This young babe in Christ discovered this great mystery that so many failed to see, that Jesus is both divine and human in one person. And this Gentile worked out what the religious leaders failed to see. Jesus is God, so he bows down at the feet of Jesus, giving Jesus the worship that only God deserves. My friends, if you give thanks, you will find that it's a great instructor. Because when you are thanking the Lord for forgiving your sins, you're acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord, is God. And when you are thanking the Lord for answering a prayer, you're acknowledging the sovereignty of God, that he is the one that can change things in this world. So, my friends, what a wonderful example of how to pray. Learn from this young babe in Christ. He did it individually, promptly, intensely, humbly, and doctrinally. My friends, does this young convert put your thankfulness to shame? Thirdly, my friends, we have here the wonderful blessings of thankfulness. What happens after the Samaritan has given thanks to Jesus? Look at verses 17 and 18. What do we read? So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now this young believer is actually receiving at this point a wonderful blessing, which if we don't think about it, we miss. What blessing, you may ask? This Samaritan has a one-to-one conversation with Jesus. When the 10 had first come to Jesus, he spoke to the 10 together. But now the one comes back, he receives a special blessing. Jesus speaks to him personally. Do you know that? That Jesus can talk to you personally? And the other 9 missed out. They missed out on having a direct conversation with the Lord of glory. And whenever we give thanks individually, I believe the Lord hears us individually. And a blessing flows from that. You are having a one-to-one with your Lord and Master. Now what does he say to the man? Jesus asks, where are the 9? 10 were healed, but only one has come back. 10 were healed, but only this Samaritan has come back to glorify God. What's the special blessing in these words? Well, actually, the Lord is commending this one for coming back. He's saying all 10 should have come back, but they didn't. But I'm glad you did. In particular, these 9 others who were Jews should have come back to glorify God, but they didn't. But I'm so glad that you, one Samaritan, did come back and give thanks. And my friends, we cannot imagine how comforting this must be to this Samaritan. We need to remember, as a Samaritan with leprosy, he was doubly outcast in Israel. He was an outcast from God's kingdom because he was a Samaritan and the Jews hated the Samaritans. He was an outcast from God's kingdom because he was a leper. But now he's received and accepted by the friend of sinners, Jesus Christ. My friend, the Lord loves it when we come to him in praise and thankfulness. The Lord created us to be a worshipping people. We were created to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So let us be people who give thanks. We saw the other week that there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. And I believe there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner gives thanks. And my friends, I want you to see there's a wonderful blessing when you give thanks. It creates a wonderful cycle of goodness, if you like. The more we give thanks to God, the stronger will be our faith. And the stronger is our faith, the more we will give thanks. The more we give thanks to God, the closer will we be to God. And the closer we are to God, the more we will give thanks. The more we give thanks, the more we can expect God to speak to us through his word. And the more the word comes alive and speaks to us as we read it, the more we give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you have a message for me. My friends, do you want to be a blessed Christian? Then be a thanking Christian. Now, my friends, we come to the final point we learn from this passage. We have here, my friends, finally, the great reason for thankfulness. Because ultimately, what is the reason to be thankful to Jesus, to the Lord? And we find the answer in the last verse of our reading, verse 19. And Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." First of all, the Lord Jesus says to this man, "Get up, stand up. Thank you for worshipping me, but stand up." And Jesus tells him to stand up because now this man has been made whole. This man has been healed. This man is no longer an outcast in society. This man can stand upright as a human being, right with God. And then Jesus says, "Go your way." In other words, go and see the priest. Go and be pronounced clean in accordance with the Mosaic law. But then he adds the most important words that Jesus said to this Samaritan, and in effect, the most important words that God can say to any human being. Jesus says to him, Your faith has made you well. Now, the word that is translated in our English Bible, made you well, is actually not the word to be healed. Our Russian Bible is more accurate here. Twice already in this passage, there's been a word that's related to being healed. In verse 14, it was used to describe what happened to the Samaritan. And the word Jesus here uses here is not the word we find in verse 15, when we read the Samaritan found he was healed. This is another Greek word, sozo. And this word means to be saved from your sins. And it's used numerous times in the New Testament. And on nearly every occasion, it doesn't refer to physical healing, but spiritual healing, to salvation. Let's look at the first time this word is used in Matthew chapter 1. As we approach Christmas, it's an appropriate verse to read. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It's on page 849. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And this is the angel speaking to Joseph. And he says this about Mary. And she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's this word, to be saved from your sins. And Luke uses this word also in the same way. Look at Luke and chapter 5, for instance, and verse 50. It's on page 913. Luke 7, verse 50. And Jesus here speaks to the sinful woman and says this. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so if we go back to Luke and chapter 17, what Jesus is saying to the Samaritan is that she is now saved. Her sins are forgiven. Not only is her skin cleansed, not only is his skin cleansed, but her heart has been cleansed from sin. And Jesus says the Samaritan woman has been saved by faith. Your faith has saved you. We're always saved by faith. It's not by the way that faith saves us. Jesus saves us. Faith is the means by which we receive salvation. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It's on page 1038. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What is faith? Faith is a bit like a bank card. You need some cash. So you get out your little card, your debit card, and you go to a machine and you put the card in and put in your little code and out pops the money. Now, where did the money come from? Did it come from your card? No. The card is the means by which you receive the money. And faith is the means by which we receive salvation. Faith, as it were, saves no one. But faith is the means by which we have access to the one who saves us, which is Jesus Christ. My friends, at the end of the day, if we go back to the Samaritan, why did he come back? And why did the other nine not come back? And the answer is simple. Because out of the 10, he was the only one saved from his sins. All 10 had been healed of leprosy, but only one was healed of sin. So do you remember my question? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? The answer is they were off seeing the priests. They were more concerned about their physical body than their spiritual soul. They were receiving confirmation they'd been physically healed. But they weren't receiving confirmation they were spiritually healed. They had not been saved from their sins. We don't know what happened to the nine. Maybe the Samaritan sought them out and witnessed to them. Maybe they were saved later. We don't know. But as we close, I need to ask you an important question. Who are you like? Are you like the one? Or are you like the nine? In other words, are you saved? Or are you not saved? And one of the pieces of evidence that you're like the Samaritan and that you are saved is that your life will be full of saying, "Thank you, Lord." You'll be somebody who can't stop saying, "Thank you, Lord." You cannot get over the fact that your sins are forgiven. So you'll be constantly saying, "Lord, thank you for forgiving me my sins." And you'll wake up in the morning, and maybe you have many trials and troubles in your life. Maybe you have pain in your body. But you will say to yourself, "I wake up a Christian. I wake up saved. I wake up heading for heaven." And immediately you will say, "Thank you, Lord, that I've woken up a Christian." And you'll come to the end of the day, and you've still got those trials and troubles. You've still got that pain in your life, that difficulty in your life. But before you go to sleep, you will say to yourself, "I'm going to bed a Christian. I'm going to bed with my sins forgiven. I'm going to bed heading for heaven." And immediately you will say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me." And then one day, as a Christian, you will wake up for the last time. It's the day of your death. The day when your soul will leave your body and you will go to be with Jesus. And what will be your first action in paradise? I think it will be the same as the Samaritan man. You will worship the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for dying for me." So my friends, let us not be like the nine. Let us be like the one. Let us be thankful people. Amen.